You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
It's Saturday, January 18th, and I will tell you what, folks, Keith Alexander and myself, James Edwards, are particularly excited tonight. We've got a very busy show. That's not unusual, but we're in a better-than-usual good mood, and I'll tell you why. Keith and I got to the studio tonight about an hour and a half prior to the show beginning. We got here at about 4:30 Central Time, and what we have been doing since then is signing pictures for absolutely everyone who sent in a contribution in the month of December. Typically, we send out incentives to those who donated at levels of $100 or more. This time, we just figured, you know what? Everybody's beautiful. Everybody's going to get one. We have some people who, God bless them, they send in $1 or $2 or $3. We get checks like that. Everybody's getting one. We love you all. I mean, certainly people are able to help at different levels, but it all adds up. And so, you know, for the people who gave more, they're going to get more. But everybody's going to get one of these signed pictures. And I'm just going to let Keith tell you, how long, Keith, were we wearing out the Sharpies today? You tell them.
A full hour at least. That's, you know, and we really do appreciate the people. It's like the biblical parable of the widow's mite. If somebody can just give a dollar, God bless them. We love it. Thank you so much for giving what you can. Just having the recognition of you people contributing your hard-earned money towards this effort is the type of thing that just inspires us to continue on in spite of all the adversity that's thrown in our path.
And I'll tell you another thing, folks, as we were doing that, and we had intended to send these things out a couple of weeks ago, right after the fourth quarter fundraising drive wrapped up on December 31st, but we're just now getting them out. They are all packaged now. They are all ready to go. They will ship out on Monday, and we apologize for the delay. But before we get to our first caller of the night, one thing Keith and I were marveling at as we were looking at the addresses of those who contributed in December. I mean, folks, I can't possibly read them all, but I wrote down a few of them. From the biggest cities in this country to the smallest towns, from Maine to Southern California, from Washington State to the Keys, listen to some of the places where political cesspool fans are tuned in tonight. Hazard, Kentucky, Wilmington, Delaware, Merrick, New York, Centerville, Alabama, Chicago, Illinois, Lincoln, Nebraska, Natural Dam, Arkansas, Baltimore, Maryland, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Sulphur Springs, Texas, Dolores, Colorado, Simpsonville, South Carolina, St. Louis, Missouri, Diamond Head, Mississippi, Seattle, Washington, Irvine, California, Plainfield, Connecticut, Collinwood, Tennessee, Madonna, Georgia, Callahan, Florida, Caldwell, Idaho, New York City, and of course here in Memphis, folks, from sea to shining sea and all over the world, Canada, Europe, Australia. I know we sent out something to a guy in Norway tonight, Keith. They are everywhere, and it's only growing. And I'm going to give you a quick word before we take that call, Keith, about the diversity of the political cesspool audience.
We really do celebrate diversity. We have a diverse audience of people throughout the world that love the message of this show because we're unbossed and unbought. We have the courage and or else the foolhardiness, well, you take your pick, to break every taboo that political correctness has ever set in our path. We're going to continue to do it because, as the Bible says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
And let me tell you something, folks. I know that some of you are susceptible to feeling alone. You watch this constant 24/7 bombardment from the rest of our peers in the mainstream media, and you think, you know what? The cause is lost. No one thinks like I do anymore. Well, let me tell you something. There are tens of thousands of people that think like you, and all of them are listening to this show tonight. We are a nexus for a movement whose time is coming again. I think our ideas are going to be the future. There are millions of people who believe like us. Don't get me wrong. Millions. Tens of thousands who listen to this show. and they come from everywhere, and it's only growing. And we talk about our audience being a family. We talk about it every show. I couldn't tell you how many cards we got, Christmas cards in December, from people saying, thank you for letting us be part of your family. You're part of our family. That familial bond is growing. This show is getting bigger and stronger, and it's thanks to people like you from all over the world, including this gentleman from Alaska. Alaska is actually one of the few states I didn't mention, I think, as I was reading down that litany. Chris in Alaska, thank you for calling in as we kick off the show on a high note. Believe me, it's only going to get worse from here.
I don't know about that, James. I think it's only going to get bigger and better as the year goes on. I think you're right. I think Barack Obama is the best advertisement for paleoconservatism you could possibly imagine. But you quoted scripture a couple times. I wanted to quote something at you guys that you thought of, made me think of last week, and that is the beginning of the Gospel of John. Mm-hmm. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And why that made me think of that is you talked about the controlled media last week and all the 10 or 11 different local news stations that all said the same thing, exact same thing.
Yeah, that was a great third hour, by the way, folks, if you missed it, with Sam Bushman. He was our featured guest during that hour that Chris is referring to. Great radio if you missed it. Catch it in the archives. But continue, Chris.
Yeah, well, every hour was great, and if you're listening to this show, you need to get into the archives and listen. But the reason I bring that up is it is very difficult to lie to people on the radio. The TV, you know, the segments Rachel Maddow does about you or about Richard Spencer or any or me or anybody, they're going to, flash images of skinheads or KKK or a burning cross and say, James Edwards, is he a Nazi? And then they're going to show pictures of Nazis and all that other stuff.
Right.
The truth is that you can't lie on this show, because if you do lie, you or Eddie or Keith or Sam, somebody's going to call you on it. And when it's just the words that you've got to say, if all you got is words, you're either lying or you're telling the truth. And there's no way to manipulate images to lie to people.
Well, I think Chris, I understand what you're saying, and I think though that truth draws good people like flame would draw a moth, and I think that's why we've been able to grow, despite the fact that we're hamstrung financially, and despite the fact that we have a lot going against us with regards to the pressure that is exerted upon us by others, the left wing and the anti-Christian and anti-American crowd. But because we tell the truth, we have grown bigger. And listen, I'm telling you, brother, as I listen to you and people like you who call in and send us in the letters, I started this show 10 years ago with just an idea. And to read these different cities, and I just read a few there out of the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds that are on our mailing list. And, it just makes you swell up and almost cry. It's just it's bigger. There is still righteousness left in this world, and I think that more than anything is what I want to impress upon everyone tuned in tonight. And we're already in the top 10. Normally it takes us the better part of 2 hours, sometimes even into the third hour, to get into the top 10. We started out there tonight. Folks, it is getting better. Chris, it's getting bigger, as you mentioned, and it all started 10 years ago, and this is a 10-year anniversary year for us. Every week's going to be a celebration, and we are celebrating tonight as we were reflecting, for the hour and a half before the show, about the great people who have made this show possible, and they are good, good, good people. And that's the thing, folks. You are not alone. That's what I want you to remember. You are not alone. You are right. You are good. You are strong, and we are here at your service, and Chris, we're at yours as well.
Thank you so much, James, and I look forward to a bigger and better 2014.
Hey, amen, brother, and we're going to get after amen. It right after this, folks. We're going to dive in head first. We're going to answer some listener mail that had come in for Keith, and Robert E. Lee week. Robert E. Lee, the greatest American ever produced. It's his birthday coming up. We're going to talk about that as well.
We fought. We learned. We struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center. Where heritage and responsibility instill character. Where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental. Where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. James Edwards, Keith Alexander here, talking about the mail there in that first segment. And remember, folks, we have finally sent off those gift packages. If you gave anything in the month of December, you will be receiving something from us before our next show a week from tonight. So keep an eye peeled towards that mailbox and let us know what you think about it. I did get one thing in the mail that I want to mention very briefly this week. I even was so excited about it, I put a picture of me holding it on the website. We actually received a personalized license plate, an official license plate from the state of Virginia. It had a big package in the mailbox this week from the Virginia Department of Motor Vehicles, and I was like, damn, did I get a speeding ticket there that I'd forgotten about? I mean, what's going on here? You know, I'm an aggressive guy, dominant guy. I drive fast and move fast, and anyway, I was thinking, well, I'll just pay that one. But I opened it up, and it was a license plate. It was a souvenir plate, an official plate from the state of Virginia. Don't tread on me, with the Gadsden flag, a yellow license plate, Virginia, and the characters read CESPOL. It was a cesspool license plate from Virginia, and that was sent in, and we got that here in the studio tonight. It's actually right here underneath a bunch of papers, but it's going on my car. Thank you for the person who's to the person who sent that in. And if you haven't seen it, folks, it's on the website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. I think I posted it on Tuesday or Wednesday, so check out that picture. Okay, let's get to work tonight. Let's get to work, Keith. And folks, if you don't know how this show works, Keith and I go out to lunch. Sometimes Eddie joins us, sometimes he doesn't. But Keith and I go out every week and have lunch. And during the course of that lunch, we plot out a rough outline of what we want to talk about. And no battle plan survives the war, but so we don't always cover exactly what we intended to. But this is a story we wanted to talk about. Keith, we were talking about that back during the era of forced integration, people were saying that segregated education was inferior to integrated education and much more expensive. Let's take a look at reality, folks. This is a story that appeared in the New York Post this week. The curtain has been pulled back on public school education, public schooling in quote-unquote urban areas. in Blue State America, up there in Queens, New York, students at public school number 106 have gotten no math or reading or writing books for the vigorous Common Core curriculum, whistleblowers say. There's 234 kids that go to this public school in Queens. They do not have books for reading or writing or math. They get no gym or art classes. Instead, the story reads, they watch movies all day, every day. About 40 kindergartners have no room in the three-story brick building. They all sit in dilapidated trailers that reek of animal urine, a parent said. Rats and squirrels noisily scamper in the walls and ceilings. With no physical education or art classes, students are left to watch movies, including Alvin and the Chipmunks and Fat Albert. And the principal, Marcella Sills, who is a black woman, who joined this school 9 years ago, is a frequent no-show, sources say. The principal didn't come to school last Monday. On Tuesday, she showed up at 3:30 p.m. On Wednesday, the New York Post found her at her home in Long Island all day before emerging at 2:50, school dismissal time, wearing a fur coat and driving a BMW. She showed up at school on Thursday, but not Friday. When she does go to work, it's rarely before 11 a.m. and often hours later than that. When she is out, which is often, an assistant principal is left in charge, yet Sills, who gets a $130,000 a year salary, also pockets overtime pay. So how's she getting overtime pay, Keith, if she never goes? Yeah, if she doesn't go in until after hours. So this is it, Keith. This is public education as it stands in Martin Luther King's Diversity Wonderland. And just like they do in governments, you have this woman who is making a lavish income. I say lavish. I mean, $130,000 to me is lavish. But you see the kind of schooling that goes on there. And just to give you an idea about the wastefulness, this one single school, Keith, receives $2.9 million per year for lunch. That's how much it costs to feed these kids here, which the story reads are low-income population, so you know what that's about. As a Title I school, it also gets extra federal funds, but community members say they've never seen a budget tracking the income and spending. But if they receive $2.9 million for lunch, Keith, and you divide that by the 234 students, that is $12,300 per student per year just on lunches. $3 million, this woman's getting $130K a year not to go to school, and this is the kind of education you got. Aren't you glad they integrated?
Let me tell you, these kids must be getting filet mignon or pheasant under glass, or else they're eating mass quantities of food to be getting $12,000-plus per year in breakfast, lunch, and dinner. This is what education is doing now. It's totally replacing the role of the parent. They're going to have them sleeping in the schools next. May as well call them orphanages, because that's the way that they function, like an old orphanage. Everything is prepared for these kids, and of course, it's worse than any orphanage out of a Dickens novel back in the Victorian times. Sitting in trailers reeking of animal urine and feces, watching on a daily basis more movies than Siskel and Ebert. It's crazy. This is what you're spending $2.9 million a year to support this one school with about 230 students. This is the definition of insanity. This is why we say liberalism is the modern face of evil. Can you imagine a school back in 1954 anywhere in America that was as dysfunctional as this particular school, or had a principal that didn't show up until the school day was over, yet received overtime pay? This is, you know, this has to be, you know, the truth is stranger than fiction, James. Well, there can be nothing, there's no redeeming quality to modern education, modern and public school education. They've tried every innovation. They have tried every type of charter school, every type of approach. And they still can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear any more than they could back in 1900. The difference is, back in 1900, they knew you couldn't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear, and they didn't try. They had technical education, and they tried to get any type of education that would advance the career and financial independence of whoever happened to show up at the school. Today, in Memphis, Tennessee, they have billboards with this absurd slogan, every child, every day, college bound. In other words, mentally retarded children are going to college in Memphis from the Memphis public schools. You've got to take that on faith. They're probably headed to Harvard and Yale, where they'll fit right in.
Well, let me tell you this before we get to our next caller. They have spent trillions, with a T, trillions of dollars to try to close the achievement gap between black and white students since the 50s and 60s. Trillions of dollars, and this is the result. And this is not an isolated result. Now, it might not always be this bad, but the IQs have not gone up. They have gone down. Achievement, excellence in the black community is worse than it was in the 50s and 60s. And Keith, just as always, when left to their own devices, they ruin it, they corrupt it, they steal, they embezzle. I mean, look at this. All that money, and this is what they have to show for it, and the principal doesn't go to school, and she's making in six figures. This is absolutely predictable.
This principal is actually stealing money from the school system to be paid anything for the performance, the pathetic performance that she provides. Now, you talked about narrowing the gap. Well, they have two ways to narrow the gap. They first tried to raise black children to the level of white children. That apparently didn't work. So then the left seamlessly and unapologetically moved to Plan B, which was to reduce white children to the level of blacks. And they're doing a marvelous job doing that when they send kids to school and they sit around and watch movies all day. Who could get an education that way?
That's what's going on in public schools in diverse New York and probably in your area, too, if you're blessed with that sort of multiculturalism. We're going to take a break, and we're going to go to Matt the Copperhead, New York. He's waiting on the line.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend.
All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com, your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back to the show, folks. James Edwards and Keith Alexander in the studio tonight, this cold January evening, the 18th. It's hot in here, though, and it's only going to get hotter, boys. It's going to be a raucous program tonight. We're going to take a call right now, and when we get off the line with Matt the Copperhead, I'm going to go straight into the most... Now, pay attention to what I'm saying, folks. The most disgusting story we have ever covered on the political cesspool. Now, that goes back 10 years, thousands of shows when you count, take into effect the first few years we were on five nights a week. So, literally, we've done over 1,000 shows. I am going to tell you the most disgusting story we've ever covered before the next commercial break. So, you're going to want to listen to find out what that is. But, Matt, what can we do for you tonight, my friend?
Good evening, cesspool family, Mr. Alexander and James. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're getting by. How about you, Matt?
Fair to middling. Pretty much the same. I got an interesting insight in this whole story of PS 165, Public School 165 in Far Rockaway. Back in the 50s and 60s, yeah. When my mother first immigrated from Ireland, Rockaway was known as the Irish Riviera. And it was a spot where a lot of people would have bungalows in the summer months. But it also had a strong Irish community of working class people.
Now, before you go on, but Matt, before you go on, I just want to remind the folks that this area that you're talking about is the neighborhood and the school that we were talking about in the last segment, just to make sure everybody's clear.
That is correct. The Rockaway Peninsula, which a lot of people... probably don't realize New York City has some of the largest beachfront areas, larger even than L.A. And this
Far
was,
Rockaway on Long Island.
Just before you get to the Queens. Long Island, it's part of Long Island, still part of the five boroughs, and it's part of the borough of Queens.
Okay,
Queens County, New York.
Thanks for the clarification.
And this story speaks of the ethnic displacement of whites.
Amen.
And how also of the hidden tax of white people have to endure and pay, something that's always omnipresent in our lives. I'm sure, having young kids like myself and James, we're always thinking, public school is just not an option in a lot of places.
Now, I guarantee I bankrupted myself virtually sending kids to private school in Memphis because... the option is to throw them in the veritable black hole of Calcutta, which are the public schools of Memphis.
Well, this goes to show what Matt is proving here is just, well, he's proving another example, rather, that this neighborhood back when his parents immigrated here from Ireland was a pearl of the boroughs up there in Metro New York.
Oh, absolutely.
And now you have rats running through a flagship public school there. No education going. Now, how do you think these kids are going to turn out? They're going to turn out exactly how you would expect them to. With this, I mean, education certainly plays a role into that or lack thereof. It only worsens their chances to grow up and to become part of the dregs of society. And this is what happened. Oh. The white people were run out, and this is the, again, to use the word, predictable result.
Absolutely. There's still, a marginalized, the diehards that have stayed, but they've been reduced to, the Irish community there has been reduced to about three square blocks of condensed, and also I might add, they're racially aware people, and they're good people out there. I'm just saying that this is what happens through, the integrating of schools and always wanting to reach out and uplift people, and this is the end result, and this will come to a neighborhood near you.
Well, we've seen it here in Memphis. I mean, with no shortage of examples, right, Keith? The public schools here in Memphis, you can draw a lot of comparisons to this school in Queens.
Absolutely. We have there's a word for it, Matt, and it's called block busting. There was a famous neighborhood in Memphis called Glenview Heights that had very substantial homes in it that went from virtually all white to virtually all black in a six-month period in 1964 due to predatory block busting that was instigated by the federal government and carried out by local realtors. I imagine something like that was back in Far Rockaway's history as well. And this is another thing that diminishes the wealth of white people. White people have to move and spend more money to have the same type of schools that they used to have until intentionally displacement with government programs visits them, like it did at Far Rockaway and at Glenview Heights. See, this is what this is your government at work sabotaging your financial interests.
Absolutely. This was totally systemic on the city level. Over a lot of mayoral offices, mainly under the Lindsay administration, but this was systemic of pushing high-rise schemes, slums, upon this beautiful beachfront property, and
well,
this is the end product.
We got to transition to another story, Matt, but I appreciate you bringing a little added emphasis to this story and some behind-the-scenes insight. I'm sure de Blasio will get it all fixed up there. He and his wife, I'm sure, will
right.
tackle this. And it'll
Can
be
I just
another...
wish a happy birthday to the good General Lee to everyone in the Southland and around the world. God bless everybody.
That'll be coming up in the second hour, and thank you for offering that. A quick clarification. I received this email while Matt was on the line from Jimmy in Washington State, and he is offering a correction to my commentary on the story, and we want to be sure that we got it straight. He said that I had made a mistake, that the school gets $2.9 million for its budget and has 98% of its students on free lunch, but the full $2.9 million was not just spent on lunch. Everything else is accurate. And we want to be 100% accurate. So we thank we want to thank Jimmy for that. You know, we always want to make sure that everything we say here is as factual as it can possibly be.
Of course, much more reasonable that they bought breakfast and lunch with that $2.9 million, I guess, and maybe a few soft drinks for breaks and whatnot. But these kids, no wonder the kids grow up to be 400-pound behemoths.
Well, what's funny about these free lunches is that, you know, I went to a private school, Keith, one of the most elite private schools here. My parents had money at a time. It never trickled down here. But when I was growing up, they were like you. They made enough to be able to send me to a good school. And it was, you know, the tuition there was, everybody would joke once the kids graduated from Briarcrest and went to college, the parents rejoiced because it was so much cheaper to send them to college than it was to school, to high school. But we were paying all that money to go to school there, and we still had to buy our lunches. We didn't get a free lunch. It didn't matter if you're paying $10,000 a year to go to kindergarten or not. You were going to have to buy that lunch, too. All right, the worst story we've ever covered. Now, I say that short of a story about a murder or a rape or something heinous like that. Of course, you know, I was one of my appearances on CNN. I was asked to come on CNN to talk about the torture and rape and mutilation of that young white couple in Knoxville, Tennessee, at the hands of five black thugs. So, I mean, short of something like that, where death or has been involved, this story is the worst. A white father missed the birth of his child, his first and only biological child, 6 weeks ago, because he wanted to fly to the Congo to be with two sons that he was trying to adopt, his new sons. Here's the story. Justin Carroll is the proud dad of a six-week-old daughter in Tennessee. He's a Southerner, Keith. But thus far, he's done his doting via FaceTime video calls from Africa. Since mid-November, Carroll has been living in Congo, unwilling to leave until he gets exit papers allowing two newly adopted sons to travel with him. We're getting some feedback there on the line, Sam, if we can clear that. Yes, please. Justin is not going to leave the boys, his wife said, from the family's home in Tennessee, where she's been caring for their biological daughter, Carson, since her birth on November 25th. Justin Carroll was not present for his daughter's birth. He left for Africa a week earlier. In a dire situation, we would just move there, said his wife, referring to Congo. Leaving our sons there is not an option. So, Keith, what you have here is a young white couple from the South, totally brainwashed. I mean, this is the kind of story that makes you wish that eugenics had gotten a better hearing, because maybe a guy like this wouldn't have made it, you know, past the muster. But he leaves his wife a week before she is scheduled to deliver his first and only child, to be with two black children in Africa that he is trying to adopt. And the wife couldn't be happier. He said, yes, he needs to be there with our sons. He's never even seen his daughter yet. And she's saying, if they don't let these two kids come over, they're going to move the whole family there.
This is almost identical to the insanity of Amy Beale's family. Amy Beale was some blonde-haired, blue-eyed chickadee from California who attended Stanford and went to South Africa to help the indigenous black people there. And then she was killed, and her parents forgave the killers and set up scholarships for them. Crazy as that sounds. We'll have more to say on this after these words from our sponsor.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Would you like being an insider? Would you like getting exclusive access to prizes and better deals? Would you like some help in making sure you and your loved ones are prepared for the next disaster or emergency? If you answered yes to any of these, here's your simple solution. Join Freeze Dry Guy's Survival Insider Club. Not only is your membership free, you get $10 in survival bucks just for signing up. Then you save at least 10% on purchases, plus enjoy insider access to specials, prizes, and other exclusive offers. Since 1970, veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy has been your trusted source for long-lasting, easy-to-make freeze-dried food and dehydrated food, perfect for emergency preparedness, RV travel, and outdoor needs from camping to sailing. Enjoy life as a survival insider. Call Freeze Dry Guy now at 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com, or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
I I hear the cottonwoods whispering above. Tammy, Tammy, Tammy's in love. The old hooty owl, hooty hoos to the dove. Tammy, Tammy, Tammy's in love. Does my lover feel what I feel when he comes near? My heart beats so joyfully.
I can actually remember listening to that song as I took my grandmother to her cancer treatments at Vanderbilt University in Nashville. That was on a tape that we would often play. But Keith Alexander is the one who ordered that song up before the start of this segment. I guess if for no other reason to perhaps sanitize his mind from the story we last read. Keith, I'm going to reset the table, then toss it over to you. You can tell us why you wanted to hear Tammy at that particular moment, maybe just to help you out after I set that last story. But basically what happened is this father has never seen his biological child because he left a week before his wife was to deliver to go and be with two African children that he had never seen before. That he was in the process of adopting. And the wife can't get enough of it. She says, you know, he's not going to leave the boys. Leaving our sons is just not an option. And he's still never seen his biological child. So, you know, the thing is, how did pathological altruism get to this extent, Keith? We've seen, you know, good deeds in the ghetto, giving money to exclusively non-white outfits and organizations, going around doing mission trips to exclusively non-white nations. Even that other despicable story we covered about a year ago where the white families go and they let their kids be put in chains and in yokes and marched around by blacks and yelled at so they can attempt to find healing. That's not as sick as missing the birth of your child to be with these others. And if they were so hell-bent to prove that they're not racist, why not pick one of the countless illegitimate black kids here in this country, an orphaned black American? Why go to the Congo and bring more in? It's just, I have never seen anything this sick in 10 years. I'm telling you that. Short of a murder or a rape, I've never seen anything this bad.
You've heard of a marriage made in heaven. This apparently was a marriage made in hell. I cannot imagine a pair more dysfunctional and suited for one another than this pair. What type of woman would want to be abandoned on the eve of giving birth to her first child by her husband to basically minister to the supposed needs of some strangers that they were about to adopt into their family? This is contrary to all natural law, all natural instincts. And the reason I played that Tammy clip from the movie Tammy and the Bachelor, which I, in my humble opinion, think was the best of the Tammy movies, Debbie Reynolds was far superior to Sandra Dee as Tammy. You know, sorry for the Sandra Dee fans, but this, you know, if there was anybody that personified Tammy in the movies, it was Debbie Reynolds. Tammy was a little Southern girl who lived with her grandfather on a houseboat, poor but plucky, full of abundant common sense, and it showed you exactly how white working class people, particularly white working class Southerners, were portrayed in the 50s compared to the way they're portrayed today on television and in the movies with treats like Duck Dynasty, Honey Boo Boo, and Paula Deen. This movie I would recommend to anyone's family. You can watch it on YouTube, and you'll be surprised to learn that the male lead, the handsome dude that apparently wins the heart and hand of Tammy, is none other than Leslie Nielsen, the guy that played the buffoon in the airport movies and Naked Gun movies back in the 80s and 90s.
Debbie Reynolds was never married to Bobby Darin, though, Keith, and I think that therein you have the difference between she and Sandra Dee. I got one more for you, folks. Federal judge, of course, this is nothing new. I mean, this happens every day, has struck down Oklahoma's righteous ban on sodomite marriage with the stroke of a pen. How many times have we seen this since Brown versus Board of Education? The people of Oklahoma overwhelmingly want marriage to remain as the God-ordained institution that it always has been. A single federal judge thinks he knows better than all of them, and we know how this played out. Here's the story from Fox News. Oklahoma's gay marriage ban violates the U.S. Constitution, a federal judge ruled on Tuesday. U.S. District Judge Terrence Kern handed down the ruling in a lawsuit filed by two same-sex couples. Kern struck down the ban about a month after another federal judge in Utah overturned that state's ban on same-sex marriage. The constitutional amendment approved by Oklahoma voters says that marriage in the state consists of the union of a man and a woman. Kearns said the measure violates the U.S. Constitution. And there you have it. So, again, Keith, the precedent for judicial legislation from the bench really began to manifest itself during the Brown versus Board of Education ruling in 1954. It was further cemented during the so-called civil rights era, all of this judicial legislation. The chickens have come home to roost, though, for the respectable conservatives who love to cheer those rulings. They think those rulings were great. Oh, yes. A judge had every right to strike down those, you know, the evil practices of Southerners back then. But oh, I can't understand how a judge can get away with it now. They just don't get it. That's why they're losing this particular battle. What happened in Oklahoma this week started with Brown in 1954. It's either all good or it's all bad. But here's one question I got for you, Keith. Let that judge enforce it. That's what the state of Oklahoma should say. 90% of the people of Oklahoma don't want sodomites to be able to get married. They know it's not a legitimate marriage. They don't want it. That judge cannot overturn that state's law. The state should just instruct the clerks at the county courthouses not to recognize those marriages and just put an end to it. Let that judge come in and make Oklahoma do his bidding. Oklahoma's just going to roll over. I mean, why do we even have elections anymore? Why do we even have ballot initiatives or referendums? We should just let the Supreme Court and federal circuit court judges write all the law. Why do we even bother?
Well, you know, that's precisely what you're suggesting is precisely what every American president did up until Dwight Eisenhower became president in 1952 and rolled over for the Supreme Court in the Brown decision. Andrew Jackson, for example, was told that he could not enforce the Indian Removal Act by the Supreme Court of the United States. And his reply was, Mr. Marshall, who was the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court at the time, John Marshall, has made his decision. Now let him enforce it. That's exactly what Thomas Jefferson did to the Supreme Court in Marbury versus Madison. It's precisely what Abraham Lincoln did to the U.S. Supreme Court, headed by Roger Taney, in the case of State X. Rel. Milligan, in which the Supreme Court said that the president had violated the right of habeas corpus for the legislators of Maryland who were arrested before they could be sworn in as they marched into the Capitol building of the state of Maryland because he knew that the first order of business was going to be to vote for secession and that Maryland probably would have voted to secede. He had all of the legislators arrested, put into the holds of prison ships in the Potomac. These included the grandson of Francis Scott Key, the Marylander who wrote The Star-Spangled Banner, who wrote a book about it called 14 Years in American Bastille. And all American presidents basically told the Supreme Court to shove it. They said, we too take an oath to support the Constitution of the United States, and we see nothing in the Constitution that supports your interpretation of the Constitution forbidding this particular legislative action. That's the right way of handling this. There is nothing in the Constitution that says that the Supreme Court is to be the last word on the constitutionality of any particular government action. Period. End of quotation.
We have now on the line our Washington, D.C. Okay, Peter Scoop Stanton will be calling back. He was a little late calling in, and we didn't work our way into it in time. But no, I mean, here, Keith, this is, again, the million-dollar question. Why do state governments, you know, these people elect representatives in Oklahoma, Utah, all of these other places where they're just getting run, well, they've been getting run over since the 50s, but they elect these representatives based upon the belief that these representatives are going to stand up for them when it comes to matters that are dear to them, and protecting the sanctity of marriage is one of them. And a judge says, nope, you're not going to do it. A judge says no. So the entire state government, the entire state government plays dead. And it happens. I'm not just singling out Oklahomans. It's everywhere. And it'll be here, too, when they overturn Tennessee's ban on sodomite marriage.
I wonder what the next unnatural enormity will be, the next violation of natural law. Yeah, incest is what Sam says. I say it'll be bestiality. You'll have some blissed out mainline Protestant priest coming up and saying, I now pronounce you man and sheep. And the proponents of bestial marriage will say, just like the proponents of homosexual marriage said back in the late 70s and early 80s, what's wrong with our kind of love? Plenty is what I'd say.
That being said, folks, when we come back, we are going to read an email that came in from a Political Cesspool super fan in Collinwood, Tennessee, and we're going to talk about Robert E. Lee.
Another hour of the Political Cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.